BZUP 1602 Kasalika.
Sobrang saya at sigla sa DZUP 1602. Simula ng umaga sa boses ng estudyante. Mga programang likha ng mga estudyante para sa mga estudyante. Pagsapit ng alas 11, tara! Tugtugan na sa Talatugtugan kung saan ihahatid sa inyo ang magandang musika at masayang kwentuhan. Tuwing alas 12 ng tanghali, nakahanda na ang mga programa sa At Your Service para kayo'y paglingkuran at sumagot sa inyong mga katanungan. Sa alauna ng hapon naman, makinig, makiisa at makialam sa samut-saring ideya at adhikain ng mga programang may magagandang layunin sa Advocacy. Balitaan, balitaktakan at kwentuhan sa alas 3 ng hapon sa May Punto Ka Dyan. Pumasok na sa back-to-back na eskwelahan sa radyo kung saan bida ang iba't ibang kolehiyo ng pambansang pamantasan, ang Radio School. Tatlong oras na, alas 4 hanggang alas 7 ng gabi. At tawagin na ang buong tropa pagsapit ng alas 7 dahil tropang radyo na kung saan nabubuo sa radyo ang tropahan. Sobrang saya at sigla mula Lunes hanggang Biyernes. Kaya tara na sa matinong usapan para sa maunlad na bayan dahil sa DZUP 1602, kasali ka!
DZUP Balita. Mga balitang tinutukan ng DZUP 1602 sa oras na ito.
Magandang hapon, narito na ang balita sa oras na ito. Naalarma ang Malacanang sa resulta ng survey ng National Statistics Office o NSO kung saan lumabas na 4 sa bawat 10 Pilipino ang nanunuhol umano sa mga kawani ng gobyerno para mas mapadali ang iba't ibang transaksyon. Aminado naman si Deputy Presidential Spokesperson Abigail Valte na may nagaganap na mga ganitong uri ng transaksyon sa ilang tanggapan ng gobyerno. Kaya hinikayat ni Valte ang publiko na iwasan ang pagbibigay ng anumang pera o regalo sa mga kawani ng pamahalaan dahil malinaw umano itong paglabag sa Anti-Graft and Corruption Act. Sinabi rin ni Valte na agad na iulat ng mga mamamayan ang sinumang kawani ng gobyerno na nanghihingi ng regalo kapalit ng serbisyo. Ito po si Shrel Martinez para sa DZUP 1602 Kasalika. Susunod na ang Salam Radyo, hatid ng UP Institute of Islamic Studies.
DZUP Balita. Mga balitang tinutukan ng DZUP 1602 sa oras na ito.
Assalamualaikum. Ito ang Salam Radio, naghahatid sa inyo ng mga balita't talakayan tungkol sa Islam, kulturang Muslim at iba pa.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Magandang hapon ho sa ating lahat. Ito po si Julki Pliwadi ng Institute of Islamic Studies. Nandito tayo sa ating programa sa Salam Radio. At ngayon ho'y Martes. Tayo ho'y medyo busy this past several days. Pati ho hanggang ngayon. Dahil mukhang marami na naman hong nagka-interest dito sa pangyayari itong mga nakaraang araw at saka yung kasalukuyang standoff ano diyan sa Sabah kung saan mga mahigit kumulang 200 nakatao galing sa Sulu at Tawi-Tawi ang diyan na tumuloy no sa Lahad Datu diyan sa Sabah. Katunayan, gusto natin humingi ng paumanhin. Parang mayroon ho akong email na tanggap galing sa DZUP kahapon na humihingi kung pwede akong mag-guest dito sa isang programa. Sa dami ng inaatinan nating mga interview ay hindi natin nagawa. At ang katotohanan ay balak natin sanang yung issue na yan, yung standoff dyan sa Sabang, gusto natin pag-usapan. Pero ho, nagkataon naman na naka-schedule ho yung aming ginagawang workshop sa Institute of Islamic Studies, calligraphy workshop, calligraphy on Jawi and Arabic alphabet. Mayroon ho tayong apat na araw na workshop tungkol dyan. So, minabuti nating ito na muna ang parang pag-usapan namin, pati yung guest natin ngayon, dahil bihira din naman tayo magkaroon ng pagkakataon na mayroon tayong specialist na pupwedeng maimbita tulad ng pag-uusapan namin ngayon, no? So naisip natin dahil every Monday at saka Thursday yung aming workshop, inibita natin dito si Professor or Dr. Riza Hasiminik, isang specialist or expert on Islamic architecture, na samahan tayo ngayong hapon. At ito yung pag-uusapan namin, ang Islamic art, pati na rin yung Islamic architecture at calligraphy. So bago kaming papalaot at tatalakayin namin itong subject na ito, gusto muna nating pabatiin kasama natin si Professor Reza. Professor Reza, magandang hapon sa inyo. Salamu alaykum.
Thank you very much. Magandang hapon din sa inyo.
Okay. Thank you very much. Kung napansin nyo, mga kaibigan, si Professor Reza ay magaling actually mag-Tagalog. Dahil sa hindi nyo alam, siya ho'y nag-aral dito sa Pilipinas ng kanyang high school at ng kanyang architecture. Nakatapos siya sa University of Santo Tomas. Tapos ngayon, kasalukuyan siya ay tinatapos niya yung kanyang... Hindi, tapos na siya ng kanyang PhD ano, sa Malaysia, sa University Technology Malaysia, Malaysia. No? Brother Reza. At tayo humahanga sa kanya dahil sa kanyang kaalaman pagdating sa Islamic thought, lalong-lalo na sa Islamic art. At madalas siyang bumisita rito sa atin, sa UP. At ito na nga, nung napagkasunduan namin na maggawa kami ng workshop on calligraphy, kung saan naumpisahan natin kahapon at sa susunod pa mga araw. Pero ang nakapag, kumbaga udyok sa personally sa aking interes para pasukin ang calligraphy ay yung persistence ng tradition na ito, no, Brother Reza, at yung unique qualities or traits ng Islamic art or even architecture. Alam nyo, si Professor Reza is from Iran, no, sa pinanganak siya sa Iran. At alam natin, ang Iran ang isa sa mga bansa na talagang malalim yung tradisyon ng Islamic art, ng poetry, ng Sufism, ng philosophy, at ng science, lalong-lalong na ngayon na nagmo-modernize yung Iran. But then ang pag-uusapan ho namin ngayon, yung kanyang larangan, ano, yung kanyang expertise sa Islamic art, lalong-lalo na sa architecture and calligraphy. Sa buod, Brother Reza, can you give us a short description of what Islamic art is?
Okay. First of all, Professor, before we proceed to that,
please
let me clarify for the audience na kahit marunong ako mag-Tagalog pero hindi ganyan kagaling. So so if I hope they will excuse me if I just keep all the answers to English.
Sure, can understand.
Right? Yeah, sure. Well, Islamic art, that is it is obviously we have these kind of categories and classifications coming to us when Western scholarship started on history and arts and sciences. So the classifications, the taxonomy is a tradition we have from the West.
Okay.
So it's a Western scholarship that classifies such a thing as Islamic art. Whether that's unfortunate or fortunate, we have just bought it from them and we have adopted that terminology. There is modern scholarship that is going, I would say postmodern scholarship,
okay.
That is going on the topic. And they are starting to question these classifications. So there's the latest issues are about whether there is such a thing as Islamic art or Islamic architecture or not.
Interesting.
And they have come down to they have zoomed down, or rather cleared the whole description down to only two lines of artistic expression that are that could be said as purely Islamic. Okay. One is calligraphy, and the other one is the art of gereh. Gereh is the quasi-crystal designs that you see on the surfaces, and like the geometric patterns. It's a particular.
This is not Arabic. Is this different from Arabesque?
Gereh, geometrical designs in general, and floral designs could be classified. The whole thing is called Arabesque.
Okay.
That's another vague and general classification. Gereh particularly
is it an Arabic term or Persian term?
Gereh. It's a Persian term. Gereh means knot, okay. As in when you tie a knot.
Mm.
And it resembles lines that have been intertwined and as if they're knit together to form a net with geometric patterns.
Okay.
That's why they call it gereh. And then it enters Arabic, and because they cannot pronounce gid, so they pronounce it as jireh. And then when it enters English, it's written as G-I-R-I-H.
Okay.
So you have the choice to call it, to pronounce it as jireh or gireh, which is the original. Golru Najiboglu, who's one of the prominent scholars on Islamic art.
Is it Iranian or Turkish?
She's Turkish. She pronounces it as gireh, which is the correct pronunciation. So we know it through her scholarship as gireh.
Now, before we proceed, if there are only two main lines of art that may be considered Islamic,
as purely Islamic,
yeah. What about the other, previously conceived as art, which are actually also part of the Islamic art tradition?
That's a good question, actually. This is where we go down.
This is out of the mainstream Islamic art, or
see, no, it's not out of mainstream Islamic art, but the question is, what is Islamic art?
Precisely.
And when you try to answer that question, you really get down to calligraphy, which is, I mean, the Arabic script was developed after Islam. So as we all know, it started with the Nabatean, and which was Arabic, but wasn't Islamic, and then the Muslims developed Kufi. So Kufi was the first Islamic script.
Okay.
And then from there we have the Islamic calligraphy. Same thing with Gereh. Gereh developed from originally Greco-Roman geometric patterns. But then sometime in the 3rd and 4th century Islamic era, which is 9th and 10th century Christian era, when we have a proliferation of sciences in the Middle East, we had geometricians who profoundly expanded the boundaries of existing knowledge in geometry. And then so you have all these developments, discoveries. And then these discoveries then reached out to the craftsmen and artists try to learn from them and then experiment, and that's how they developed the gereh. So okay. These are the only things, the only contributions that are purely Islamic. The rest, it was all an amalgamation of okay. of different cultures. We have,
like, for instance,
like we have sculpture, we have okay. painting, we have architecture, mm. music. Arabic and Islamic music mm. owes its greatest debt to the Jews, actually,
mm-hmm.
and that's very
agree.
Ironic, because as you understand, in the early stages of Islam, mm. even up to now, with the more conservative groups,
mm.
They ban music
mm.
as haram, which is forbidden. So it's basically left to the Jews and Christians that mm. that becomes mm. An mm. area of those groups. And they greatly developed
mm.
what we understand as Arabic or Persian music.
In architecture, for instance, the popularity of domes in, say, in mosques,
yes,
is quite a feature that has been identified with Islam. But you are saying this is not so, because even before the advent of Prophet Muhammad, the dome as part of the architectural development that developed in the West, or even in some parts of the East, had already been there.
Yes, of course. Mm. The dome is basically a technical, it's a mechanical device to mm-hmm. cover the ceiling. It's
right.
So when you don't have long enough pieces of lumber
mm.
Or timber to cover your roof, mm. you have like these small chunks and blocks of
mm-hmm.
of rock or brick,
mm.
then you have to arrange them in such a way that they wouldn't fall, and what do you get? You get the dome. So it's very mechanical.
I see.
We had when I was doing my defense for my BS project in UST,
mm.
I had in my panel Professor. I'm very sorry to mm. have. I have a mind block
it's
right
quite
now.
Quite long time ago. I'm gonna understand.
She's very famous. Mm. She's a very famous Filipino architecture critic,
mm-hmm.
professor.
Mm.
I'm sorry mm. if I had the mind block. Mm. It's just right, now right. that I sure. hope she forgives me if she's hearing. She was criticizing my work because I did a project in Mindanao and the design had a dome, and she said, "Why do you have a dome in Mindanao? You need a gabled roof." And I tried to expound on her point that mm. we don't really need the dome.
Mm.
And then she said, "Okay." And then after I was finished with my explanation, she said, "Okay, you did it away with the need
mm.
to have a dome,
mm.
but then you didn't answer why you have it."
Mm.
I said, "Because the material that I'm using is not timber, it's rocks and stone." So,
but at any rate, these are material elements of Islamic art or old culture.
Yes.
That characterize, as you said, the streams, the two major streams. But another dimensions of looking at Islamic art is the idea or the principles,
yes,
that precisely define what we refer to as Islamic art. But we will go back to these discussions after a few reminders sa pagbabalik ko ng Salam Radio.
Kasali ka!
Oo nga, kasali ka!
Alam mo pa yung issue
tungkol sa pagkakas? Oo, narinig ko na yan.
Kasali ka! I don't believe that.
Kasali ka!
So what? Eh,
pero kung tutuusin, mali yung
nagsasabi. Kasali ka!
Hindi dapat ganun ang pagkakas sa kanila.
You gotta be kidding me.
Hindi ah, magaling
nga. Ay, John Mars! Ikaw, kasali ang opinion mo.
Matinong usapan para sa maunlad na bayan. Dito sa DZUP 1602, Kasali ka!
Facebook,
email,
software,
programming,
HTML,
MMORPG,
e-commerce,
Flash server,
Visual Basic, C++.
Heto na ang talakayang magbibigay linaw at kabuluhan sa mga isyung may kinalaman sa teknolohiya. Italakayan, huwag pahuhuli sa mga pagbabagong nagaganap sa larangan ng information technology. Italakayan, tutok na tuwing Miyerkules, alauna hanggang alas dos ng hapon. Italakayan, kung saan ang IT ay hindi pang eksperto lamang, kundi kaalamang inilalapit sa bayan. Handog sa inyo ng UP Information Technology Training Center at DZUP 1602. Kasali ka!
Tara na, yun na yung jeep!
Di ka na!
Ma, bayad ho.
Saan to?
Diyan lang po sa tabi. Para.
Ugaliing maglakad kung malapit naman ang pupuntahan. Naka-exercise ka na, nakatipid ka pa!
isang paalala mula sa DZUP 1602. Kasali ka!
Anim, pito, walo, siyam, sampu! Mami, Daddy, nakaipon na ako ng 10 piso! Yay!
Kung bata pa tayo, tinuruan na tayong mag-ipon. Sana hindi mawala ang kaugaliang yon. Matutong muling mag-ipon. Isang paalala mula sa DZUP 1602. Kasali ka!
Assalamualaikum! Ito ang Salam Radio, naghahatid sa inyo ng mga balita't talakayan tungkol sa Islam, kulturang Muslim at iba pa.
Ko ang Salam Radio dito pa rin ho sa DZUP 1602. Brother Riza, we said that the two streams probably are reflected in terms of the material elements of so-called Islamic art, but another characteristics of Islamic art is its distinct principles in the way, say, certain worldview is reflected on these principles and this sort of define the type of art or, say, architecture or design. What can you say about this, the principles of Islamic art? Yes.
We have in any form of art or tradition, we have material, we have style,
okay,
and we have philosophy.
Uh-huh.
So material is like we discussed, the rocks and the stones and the lumber in architecture, or say in other areas, like in calligraphy, what kind of pen do you use, what kind of paper you use, you know. All of these influence the outcome. Your shapes, your forms greatly depend on the material. And then there's a style. The style is really personal. It's really, really just personal. And we only come to understand that in the modern era. Because in the modern era, we have a fusion of world culture and world arts. And this is when it doesn't matter anymore. You cannot say something is Filipino or something is Iranian in the modern era, because it's really modern. This is when it becomes personal. This is when style is identified by individuals. You have Pablo Picasso, you have you have say other artists, and then so it becomes personal. In the old times, because there was no communication, it would at most become regional. And there was no such insistence on having a personal style. So if you followed your master's style, nobody would object to unoriginality. So it would eventually become a regional thing. So that's why we have that's why you have the differences in the shapes between regions. And then there's a philosophy. Philosophy is still a universal thing, I believe. It really depends on who conforms to your philosophy or ideology, and who doesn't, who likes it or who doesn't. Like in Islam, in the first 4 centuries, we have actually it's really just a revival of the Greco-Roman tradition. It's we have Platonists, we have great scientists who became great really because they just translated the works of the Greek philosophers into Arabic, and that's when we have the explosion of sciences in Islam. So it's really universal. It's not Arab. It's really Platonism. It's not Arab. It's really, those Greco-Roman traditions that have been revived. So philosophy is the thought. And if you can get it across, you might win adherence. When it comes to the philosophy of art, like, for example, there was one thing that I forgot to mention yesterday in that class. actually, Chinese principles of art apply greatly to Islamic art. Mm-hmm. The yin yang philosophy, mm-hmm. you will see it all over calligraphy, Arabic calligraphy. Mm-hmm. You'll see it. You will see feng shui in Islamic architecture if you know it. Mm. If you don't know it, obviously you won't notice. But if you know feng shui and you walk through these ancient buildings of the Middle East, mm. you'll see it. So
the idea of contrasts and opposites.
Exactly, yes.
Harmony,
yes,
at the same
exactly,
time.
Exactly.
The notions of bivalence or zawj or ajwaj.
Yes.
In the Quran.
Yes. And then the harmony, the balance that they mm. create. And then, of course, you have all those philosophical aspects of art, the balance, the contrast, focal points, repetitions, you know, so.
What you're saying is in terms of philosophy, Islamic perspective is universal.
It's universal. It's universal.
Or it resonates with that about their civilization.
Yes, exactly. In fact, there are some. I'm not an expert on philosophy, but I believe I've read these time and again about critics who say, you know what Islam says about sciences or about philosophy or about perspective on life, you could hear it from other philosophers as well. You know, I mean, so.
So there's nothing intrinsic or something unique that Islam.
I'm not saying there's nothing. Mm-hmm. Maybe there are. I'm sure there are. Mm-hmm. Particular every individual or every mm-hmm. ideology contributes something mm-hmm. to the mm-hmm. melting pot, mm-hmm. of course.
But the universality of Islam is such that it reflects its philosophy in the ideas or even worldviews of other civilizations.
Yes. And then other worldviews also, like you have the Mu'tazili perspective, which is rationalism. It's basically rationalism. I mean, you can call it purely Islamic. It's not. It's really it's an extension of rationalist ideology.
I see.
You have Ash'ari, which is we have the Ash'aris who believe in the existence of a divine interference. We have Christians who believe in that.
But yet, if indeed the feature of Islamic art in terms of principles and philosophy is its affinity with other concepts and philosophy in other society, other civilization, why is it that Islamic art was able to contribute a unique form of the two streams that you...
Okay,
that
that's where you come down to style. Mm-hmm. It's just a personal or regional take on the matters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's where you have style. Islamic art is really, it's a style in art.
Mm.
So,
in terms of percentage, could you say that Islamic art is more heavy in terms of style rather than the specific material of it or the philosophy of it?
The style. It's really style, and then material. Of course, you cannot ignore material. We have people who try to ignore material, especially in architecture. When we discuss architecture, Islamic architecture and stuff, like the argument about the dome. It's not a requirement to have a dome just to say this is a mosque. And if you have a dome on top of a municipal building, that doesn't. It doesn't break a rule, you know. It doesn't disqualify the building. You can have anything you want, you know. But it's about the material. If your dome is just put there with no meaning, it's just a pointless addition.
Even
you know?
The Christian, perhaps?
Even a Christian, yeah. I mean, you have domes on top of churches, you know.
Mm-hmm. So the Swiss government was not committing something that is blasphemous according to Islamic Orthodoxy when it prohibited the putting up of the crescent in the mosque in Switzerland.
I don't know what happened there. I don't know. I will not comment on
something that
I don't
is normal
know.
Anyway.
But maybe they're being biased or I don't know. I mean, I don't know the circumstances. Or maybe there were like municipal ordinances, like you know, you have them in intramuros. That your buildings have to follow a certain style. You cannot just put something in glass block there, and you know.
Mm-hmm. Is this view of universality a generally I mean, resonates in the general perspective of Iranians. I mean, the line that separates Islam with the other is very thin. We are as universal. We belong to the same humanity, and so on and so forth.
That's a good question. It's not. I don't know if you could zoom down on Iran, but I'm sure all over the Muslim world, you have a spectrum of opinions about the matter.
Well, I mentioned Iran because of the image that it presents in terms of projecting, you know.
Well, if you pick out Iran as a sample group out of the whole Muslim world, you have you still have that spectrum
that range.
Between you have the Sufis and the Sufism that believes in the universality of the spirit and the thought, and then of course you have the exclusivist schools like maybe the traditionalists.
But even the reflections of these philosophies in terms of arts, you can still see a unique Iranian features as far as Islamic art is concerned. I mean, Iranian art as Islamic art.
Well, Iranian styles were, I would say, this is not just Iranian styles. Iran, Turkey, India, they were greatly influenced by Chinese inputs starting the 12th century.
By Chinese, you mean?
Yes. Oh. You know, the Seljuks.
Not the other way around.
No. The Chinese, unfortunately, they've been stuck in this. I'm sorry to say this, but I find it as an inferiority problem that they think it came from Iran. No, they greatly influenced Iranian art, and this starts with the Seljuks who come from Central Asia, and then following the Seljuks come the Mongols who are just absolutely Chinese, and that's why you have in the miniature paintings.
I see.
In calligraphy, that's when the philosophy of yin yang enters, Arabic calligraphy.
I see. So the marriage of Chinese calligraphy, therefore, in Arabic calligraphy is something that is very natural because of the early beginnings of the Chinese influence, as you're saying.
Yes.
In Islam or in Islamic art, particularly.
Up to the 10th century, you have Indo-Iranian influence in southern China because of their trade colonies that they had in Canton. But after the 10th century, they were wiped out. That's why they fled to Southeast Asia and they brought their traditions with them.
I see.
And this is when you have the Islamization of Southeast Asia.
And speaking of Southeast Asia, I think we are trying to make some good connections here. In terms of the popularity of a kind of script that is not Arabic, but we call this Jawi, and it's also there's also calligraphy in Jawi. How is it different from Arabic calligraphy? And even before we talk about Jawi as a calligraphy, we'll have to talk first about Arabic calligraphy. But we'll talk about that when we return. Magbabalik ho ang Salam Radio.
DZUP 1602 Kasali ka. Para sa matinong usapan, para sa maunlad na bayan, DZUP sa 1602 Kasali ka. Kasali ka. DZUP para sa maunlad na bayan, dito kasali.
Boto 2013. Makisali, makialam, matinong usapan para sa maunlad na bayan. Boto 2013. Sa Marso, mga kandidatong senador at party list groups pupuntuhan ang mga issue ng bayan sa DZUP eleksyon. Talakayan! Sa mismong araw ng eleksyon at 13 ng Mayo, kasama ang DZUP sa pagbabantay sa maayos na halalan. Balita mula sa mga presinto at bilang ng mga boto, tututukan sa DZUP election coverage. Boto 2013. Makisali, makialam, matinong usapan para sa maunlad na bayan dito sa DZUP 1602. Kasali ka!
Best friend, ano ba namang buhay to? Bagsak ako sa exams kanina. Pinagalitan ako ni mami. Wala pa akong payong kaya basang-basa ako nung umulan. Na-turn off pa sa akin yung crush ko. Tapos, nadukutan pa ako pa uwi ng bahay. Tsaka gumimik ang barkada at iniwan ako. Ay, buti ka pa. Lagi kang andyan. Salamat, best friend, ha? Good boy!
Ang mga hayop ay ating alagaan, pagkat sila yung mga kaibigang maaasahan. Isang paalala mula sa DZUP 1602. Kasali ka!
Anak, samahan mo nga ako sa supermarket. Kailangan ko ng tagabuhat.
Sige po, ma. Kunin ko lang yung susi ng kotse.
Huwag na, anak. Sayang pa sa gasolina. Kaya namang lakarin yung supermarket.
Eh, ma. Para hindi na po tayo mahirapan.
Okay lang, anak. Maglakad na lang tayo. Exercise ko rin to, eh.
Kung kayang lakarin, lakarin na lang. Tipid ka na sa gasolina, na-exercise ka pa. Isang paalala mula sa DZUP 1602. Kasali ka!
Assalamualaikum! Ito ang Salam Radio, naghahatid sa inyo ng mga balitang talakayan tungkol sa Islam, kulturang Muslim at iba pa.
Nagbabalik ho ang Salam Radio. Kasama pa rin natin si Professor Reza Hasemi Nick, isang specialist or expert on Islamic architecture and calligraphy. Katotohanan niyan, kaya natin siyang inimbita, ay sabi nga natin kanina, siya ho yung nagle-lecture sa atin dun sa workshop ginawa natin, dahil nakita natin magandang ma-promote yung calligraphy as a form of art. Kasi tingin natin, hindi lang siya art mismo. Feeling ko, or in fact, parang may mga pag-aaral dito, calligraphy is also therapeutic or even psychologically, what you call this, healthy, you know?
Yes,
correct. Can you give us a brief background, Professor Reza, on the concept of calligraphy? And what are its what you call this effect for someone who has developed high appreciations of calligraphy? And why is this quite popular in the Arab world, in of course in Iran, in other Muslim world, including like places like China, you know, Japan, Korea, and others?
So your question is basically, why does calligraphy become an art?
Yes.
No matter where it is.
Yes.
Because I suppose people appreciate beautiful handwriting, and so mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean,
maybe then
they try to compete with each other in improving mm-hmm. their handwriting, and that mm-hmm. it just eventually develops into an art.
The therapeutic part, I mean, the psychological effect on person. Did you have some like appreciations on this, like in terms of developing focus on the person, in terms of providing a certain mental state?
Yeah,
you know, given our like busy world and appointments running out left and right, and yet if you practice this kind of art, you develop certain technique in terms of preparing your mind and how to focus, etc. Is this something true in calligraphy?
Well, it's not like a medicine that you mm-hmm. you take and then after like half an hour you feel mm-hmm. comfortable. It's not the Zen and the harmony and the peace of mind that comes with calligraphy.
Mm.
It's not a product of it. It doesn't come after calligraphy. But it's like you're conditioned, because as you are being trained as a disciple or a student,
mm-hmm.
you're being trained to let out whatever you had during the day.
Okay.
And now try to only think about this skill, this craft, this art class that we have.
I see.
And then as you just keep on doing this, then you get conditioned into the moment you sit down and you start, you know, practicing, you're conditioned into, you know, letting out the tensions and of course it also helps as you keep stroking those lines. It helps you, you know, let out the tension. But if you're tense and you want to do calligraphy, you can't. So if you're conditioned into it, you sit down and you start practicing, and because of the preconditioning, so to say,
I see,
you are doing that at the same time. You're practicing and you're letting out. You're getting the zen, so to say.
I see. Because I notice many Islamic scholars are actually also famous as calligraphers. In fact, dito ho sa UP, no, sa kilala to ng mga siguro mga may edad ng faculty, kilala nila si dating dean, no, si dean ng liberal arts at naging dean ng Institute of Islamic Studies, si Dean Cesar Adib Mahul.
Yes.
You know, when I was with him, he gave me a number of his calligraphic works.
Okay.
You know, and what amazed me is that he also gave me the calligraphy that Zaid Nakibal Attas gave him, you know, previously. So I had with me also the calligraphy of Zaid Nakibal Attas.
So you have quite a collection there.
Precisely. So okay. I was surprised. I said, these people are not just scholars, known scholars, prolific scholars, but they're also good calligraphers.
That's a good point, actually, Professor, that you mentioned. It's a very good point.
Yeah.
And I've been waiting for a long time to let this out.
Mm-hmm.
With all the admiration that I have for modern education and modern liberties and everything, there's one huge criticism that I have for modern education, and that is, it all goes back to the education. The old guys, they would learn calligraphy in the school. It was important how you would submit your assignments. Mm-hmm. And if your assignments were ugly, you would fail. I mean, they didn't care if you got the answers. It's ugly and the teacher cannot read it. So you go back to grade one. And and they were forced. So calligraphy was part of the curriculum.
Okay.
You would not be educated with a bad handwriting.
Okay.
That is why you have the greatest scholars of the Islamic world who are also calligraphers. Unfortunately, today everything is about speed, fast food, you know, condominiums and cars and rush hours, you know. The same thing, unfortunately, same thing affects education. You just got to rush through the 12 years and then 4 years and then, you know, get a job. So
Right. What you're saying is our appreciation of any art like calligraphy is we have to become very natural in terms of making art as part of our lives.
Yes.
I mean, while you can learn it in school, but it's very different if it is in your psychology, in your culture, etc., etc. But I didn't know that these people I mentioned, like Mahul and Alatas, are actually great calligraphers until they showed me their works. You know, that's why I really valued it when he gave me his calligraphy. I said, "Can you kindly sign your names there that indeed you you gave this to me?" Because I was amazed that despite the rather busy schedule, they could still have time to really do calligraphy.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you would be surprised if you travel through the ma'ahads and the traditional madrasas of the Middle East.
Right, precisely. So, now, that is the Arabic part. How about the Jawi? And because I noticed that you insist that we should not only do Arabic calligraphy, but we also have some appreciations of Jawi and how to write Jawi in the traditional way.
Yeah.
I noticed and I really appreciate that. It means you are here to actually revive a rather lost culture, at least here in southern Philippines, because I know it's very much alive in Indonesia, in Brunei, in Malaysia. But for Jawi in the south, or the Kirim amongst the Maguindanao, is something that is almost like a lost yeah. heritage, and we need to revive that. And when you said that we also have to do Jawi calligraphy, I felt that this is the right thing to do. And it's only the expert who could draw the line between Arabic and Jawi. Now, for the remaining part of our program, Professor Riza, we will talk about this and see if what can we do to promote further Jawi, not only in terms of calligraphy, but probably in terms of research and other interesting ways that we can make these traditions alive. Again, sa pagbabalik ho ng Salam Radio.
Kasali ka!
Oo nga, kasali ka!
Alam mo ba yung issue tungkol
sa pagkakas? Narinig ko na yan.
Kasali ka! I don't believe that.
Kasali ka!
So what? Eh,
pero kung tutuusin, mali yung nagsasabi.
Kasali ka!
Hindi dapat ganun ang pagtrato sa kanila.
Gotta be kidding me.
Hindi ah, magaling
ka. I swear, John Mars! Ikaw, kasali ang opinion mo.
Matinong usapan para sa maunlad na bayan. Dito sa DZUP 1602, kasali ka!
Mga kapunto, dalawang oras na ang ating puntuhan.
Mula Lunes hanggang Biyernes.
Alas 2 hanggang alas 4 ng hapon.
Balitaan.
Balitaktakan.
At puntuhan.
May punto ka dyan.
Nag-aral ka na ba? Mamaya kasi, masasagutin na kita eh. Like!
Hi! Love ko na yata siya. Like!
Bagay silang dalawa kasi pareho silang basura. Super like!
Like!
Like! Like! Like!
Friends, hinay-hinay lang sa pag-expose ng buhay niyo sa internet. Pag-isipang mabuti ang mga post ninyo. Maging mas responsable sa paggamit ng mga social networking sites. Isang paalala mula sa DZUP 1602. Kasali ka!
Wow! Si Superman! Idol ko yan eh!
Bakit mo idol si Superman?
Kasi malakas siya!
Oo nga no!
Sana may superpowers ako para makatulong rin ako sa iba!
Hindi kailangan ng pambihirang lakas o kapangyarihan para maging superhero at makatulong sa kapwa. Pwede ka maging super sa pamamagitan ng maliliit ngunit mabubuting gawa.
Isang paalala mula sa DZUP 1602. Kasali ka!
Assalamualaikum! Ito ang Salam Radio, naghahatid sa inyo ng mga balita't talakayan tungkol sa Islam, kulturang Muslim at iba pa.
Nagbabalik ho ang Salam Radio. Kasama pa rin natin si Professor Reza Haseminik. At umabot na ho kami dito sa punto ng pinag-uusapan namin. Pasensya na ho, by the way, dun sa mga hindi masyadong familiar dito sa subject namin sa Islamic art or calligraphy at Jawi. Dahil parang napaka-specifico ito sa tradition ng Islam. Mabalik tayo dun sa kanina. What is the main difference between Arabic calligraphy and Jawi, Brother Riza?
Okay. Basically, the language, I guess. Okay. The forms are the same. Okay. You might have manuscripts or like old documents that mm-hmm. are written in Jawi, and you might want to argue that the style looks different. Maybe I would say a style is something that is consistent and proportionate. So if you see inconsistencies and lack of proportion, you could pass it out as stylistic illiteracy. Mm-hmm. For like the discussion we had yesterday, mm-hmm. if you want to break the rules, mm-hmm. you better show to us that you know the rules. Like mm-hmm. Pablo Picasso, mm-hmm. it's not that he didn't know how to draw like a real painter. Mm-hmm. I mean, he did, mm-hmm. but he just chose to break the rules and mm-hmm. invent cubism. Mm-hmm. If drawing squares is the only thing you know, mm-hmm. and you just draw squares everywhere, you cannot go past. You cannot get away by saying, "Oh, that's my style of cubism." You know, mm-hmm. You got to show to us that you know. So that's the thing with calligraphy. If if you develop your own style, if you want to break the rules, you better prove that you know the rules. So style is something consistent and proportionate. What's different between Jawi and Arabic is basically the language. There are some letters that have developed in the local script that don't exist in the Arabic alphabet. Arabic alphabet basically comprises of 28 letters. And then we have in
Jawi.
Yes. Then we have the Ajami pronunciations, the Ajami letters, which are four. Gaf, which pronounces ge, che, pe, and je. These are the Ajami words, letters. Four added to the 28, so you have 32. And then you come down to Southeast Asia or East Asia in general, and you have...
Is Ajami different from the Persian?
No, Ajami is Persian.
Ajami is Persian, okay.
And then Persian, and then Indians and Turks also follow that.
Okay.
And then when you come to East Asia, you have two other sounds, the ng, ng, and the ny, ny.
Okay.
And these two are also added to the alphabet when it comes down to Southeast Asia, and it becomes Jawi.
I see.
So Jawi has six more letters than the Arabic. That's what makes
four
the Jawi.
Four Ajami and two...
To Southeast Asia.
I see.
And then, well, I'd say no, five. Three Ajami, because I don't think you have Zhe in the Southeast Asian dialects. And then the rest is the language. So it's the language written in that alphabet.
But the style is very much different.
Style is actually the same. Those who qualified as calligraphers in Southeast Asia, they follow the same styles, the existing styles in the Arabic world.
So you look at Jawi as distinct from Arabic in terms of
letter and meanings.
It's not just a kind of an expansion or an extension of Arabic that has developed a new forms or new style, as you mentioned.
No, it's not an extension of styles. No, it's the same style.
But it's the same style.
It's the extension of the application of the alphabet to a new language.
How about other countries with different style, like Urdu or?
No, Pakistan. Pakistan falls under the Indian subcontinent, which falls under the greater Indo-Iranian cultural region.
Okay.
So Indo-Iranian comprises of Central Asia, Iran, and everything that was part of Iran, Azerbaijan, Turkey, Eastern Iraq, and India, the Indian subcontinent. So that cultural sphere. They usually follow like nastaliq, shikasta nastaliq, ta'liq, the oriental styles.
Whereas Jawi, what specific style that...
Even the oriental styles are not exclusive of the Indo-Iranian sphere. You have Arab calligraphers who write in nastaliq or shikasta. And then you have the compendium of styles of Arabic writing, which is the Aghlam as-Sitta, the six fonts. You have the fluid forms, the cursive forms, the kufis. Jawi, because it's written in Arabic, is written in either of these styles.
So it doesn't fall under like Nasakh or Tulus.
You could write what you want to write in Nasakh or Tulus or Nastaliq.
Using Jawi, yes.
Yes, of course.
Interesting.
And if you go to Malaysia, you'll see what I'm talking about. You'll see this.
Interesting.
These are, written in Malay, but it's in the different existing styles.
Wow, I think we have lots of things to understand as far as Islamic art is concerned, particularly in the areas of calligraphy, Jawi, and so on. And we just do not have much time to really go deeper on this, but I think you gave us an appreciation of the delineations of Jawi and Arabic and the principles and concept of Islamic art. But what I appreciate is the universal traits that you want to imbue
on Islamic art, that it is not so distinct. Even if people would look at it as Islamic, but you said the affinity to Chinese, to Greek, yeah, art and philosophy remains very, very obvious. We just hope that we have enough time to be able to discuss it more. Unfortunately, we are about to run out of our time. Maybe in the coming meetings, or probably in our future conversation with Brother Riza, we could probably invite him again to elaborate further, or if we could raise more questions, on especially on the last point that we raised regarding the need to sorts of make these traditions alive.
Yeah, I wish we had more time to discuss about this one.
Let's find time probably in the future, sure. Brother Riza. We will have more discussion, and we can reflect more on this. And I think this is something that we really have to do, especially so that we need certain anchor, you know, on things like Islamic art. So mga kaibigan, dito na ho nagtatapos ang aming programa. Siguro tingnan namin kung makabalik kami ni Brother Riza sa mga darating na episode ng Salam Radio. Sa susunod na Martes na ho ang balik namin dito lang sa Salam Radio, dito lang sa ating programa DZUP 1602. Things I used to do, and all the pain I put you through. Mama, now I'm here for you. For all the times I made you cry, the days I told you lies. Now it's time for you to rise. For all the things you sacrificed. Oh, if I could turn back time, rewind. If I could make it undone, I swear that I would make it up to you. Mama, grown up now, it's a brand new day. I'd like to put a smile on your face every day. Mama, grown up now, and it's not too late. I'd like to put a smile on your face every day. Now I finally understand your famous line about a day I'd face in time. 'Cause now I've got a child of mine. And even though I was so bad, I've learned so much from you. Now I'ma try to do it too. Love my kid the way you do. Oh, if I could turn back time, rewind. If I could make it undone, I swear that I would make it up to you. Oh, if I could turn back time, rewind. If I could make it undone, you mean to me. Oh,
turn back time, rewind if I could. Make it undone, swear that I would make it up to you. Mama, grown up now, it's a brand new day. I'd like to put a smile on my face every day.
Salam Radio, ang nag-iisang programang tungkol sa Islam, kulturang Muslim at iba pa. Hanggang sa susunod na Martes, ika-isa ng hapon. Ito ang DZUP, Kasali Ka!